Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We're live on location at Ford Hall, courtesy of our friends at Contract Equipment Limited, Michael and his staff. And I regret to inform you that we have selected our three winners for the four packs of tickets. We had over 2,500 texts come in a span of about 6 minutes. Barb, Len, and Madison, congratulations. You've each got a four-pack, and they're good tickets to go to tonight's game between the Edmonton Oilers, Los Angeles Kings, Stanley Cup playoffs, game number two. Guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town. Every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Pleased to be joined by former Edmonton Oilers captain, current assistant coach for the Montreal Canadiens organization in Laval, spent a number of years as the AC here in Edmonton as well, with the New York Islanders as an NHL assistant. We welcome back to the show Kelly Buchberger. Kelly, how you doing?
Good, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You were a viral sensation on Twitter over the last week and a half. Let's start there. You're teaching one of the youngins how to handle himself out of the ice?
It was a long story, but I'll make it short. But the young kid, he's from Newfoundland, and he was telling me that he's been pumping weights all year and just for one chance. And I said, oh, I'll be ready. And we went out there, and we had a little fun, and I know how it went, and my kids phone me right away. They go, Dad, that's the first time you ever won one.
Well, it looked like one guy that had been in about 300 fights all time against a guy that's maybe been about five or six. So the player's Riley Kidney, is that right?
Yeah, it's Riley, yeah. First year player, and he's just a great kid.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we can maybe educate our listeners here. So when I grew up, you and me are roughly, I think I'm a year older than you. You were a lot better than me. But Prince Albert had just been awarded the WHL team. They were a really good SJHL team before they joined the WHL. Hello, Jurgen. And they had a couple guys from my neck of the woods that ended up getting an opportunity to play there, and they built a super tough team. How tough were they? They used to steal the net from the other teams during the pregame warm-up, and they had one of the best teams. They won the 85 Memorial Cup. Dave Manson was on that team, your former teammate with the Oilers. They had Ken Baumgartner, the current police chief, was on that team as well. I mean, they had a tough team, and they had a little bit of skill. Manny Viveros, who was a DJ, is a contemporary. I played against Manny growing up. He was unbelievable. He was the Bobby Orr of Western Canada at that time. But you and Mike Keane with the Moose Jaw Warriors, you guys took no crap, and you didn't let them and they like to intimidate teams. I think that's part of the reason why Glenn Sather drafted you, is you never let PA run your show.
I think you got some false information, because it was our net they took.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and it was one of those years that we were an expansion team with Moose Jaw, and we didn't have a lot of toughness. Actually, our toughest guy was our backup goalie, and but he was sometimes he never made it, but Keener and I obviously were part of that team, and also.
So they did try to take your goal.
Oh, they did.
Oh, they did.
They did. Yes. And Baumgartner sat on our bench and drank our water. So,
wow.
But besides all that, that team produced a lot of hockey players in the NHL, including Mike Keane, Theron Fleury, Lyle Oldline, Jim McKenzie, myself, and that wasn't the first year in expansion.
Yeah, what I remember about Jim McKenzie, one of his first fights was against Dave Brown. And I don't think he knew. He said he didn't know who Dave Brown was when he fought him. And he, I mean, how do you not know when Dave Brown was a cold-blooded assassin?
Well, he's probably a small-town Saskatchewan boy, and he, you know, probably wasn't watching that much pro hockey, because he turned junior when he was young. I think he was 16 or something.
And there was no YouTube back then, so it's like, when you were playing, did you have any video at all? Because you fought pretty much everybody during the course of your NHL career. Did you have any video at all in that stuff?
No, I didn't. We didn't have any of that back then, and nobody studies it like they do years ago. But I think it was, you just look at the stats and you knew who Ray Reyes and Barnaby and going on the list. So
it was crazy. We're joined by Kelly Bucker. You had Arbor Jacki with you down on the big, strong guy. Threw around Zach Cassian last season. Zach sort of, he hit his head in a fight a couple of years ago. He kind of lost interest in scrapping. But Jacki's a bit of a, he's a bit of a cult figure in that Canadiens organization. And he's got some ability too, doesn't he?
Yeah, Arbor was down with us for about, I would say, 2 months and came in to sharpen up his game a little bit. And he ran the power play, the second power play unit for us, and he played a physical game. Even though when he came down, he was, you know, no one really wants to be sent down, but when he went, got sent down, he bought in right away. He was a really good teammate, and he's going to have an unreal NHL career because he has what a lot of players don't have. He's got some toughness, and he can play the game.
The guy I like in the Canadiens organization played two games this year. I'm a Kirby Doc guy. I'm telling you right now, I know Jack Hughes is a hell of a player. He's had a great start to his career. Kirby's been a little bit banged up. But just as Quinton Byfield this year closed the gap a bit on Tim Stützle, I believe Kirby Doc in time will close the gap on Jack Hughes. He's a big part of the Canadiens organization carrying forward.
He is. He's just got to find a way to stay healthy. I think we've had him 2 years now in Montreal, and he's been hurt for 2 years, and he's got to stay healthy, and when he is, he's going to be a huge plus for the organization.
Kelly Buchberger here, of course, former Edmonton Oilers captain. You know what, Kelly? You had guts. You had balls. That's part of the reason you made it to the NHL, but you could skate and you continuously worked at your craft, and that's why you played close to 1,200 games in the National Hockey League. I got to ask you, how did skating and practicing with those great Oilers teams of the mid to late 1980s help make you even a better player? Because I would think that maybe some of your hardest and most competitive times were actually in practice when you're on those great Oilers teams in 87 and 88 and again in 1990. I mean, you're playing with some of the best players in the world. It's got to make a guy better.
Well, it does, and anybody that comes into the organization, the speed and the pace of the practices were really high, and you have to adapt. And one of my strengths was I was a good skater, and obviously not where their ability was where they are, but I picked up the pace of their play. And you know, the first 5 years, I probably never said a word, and I just listened to everybody that was in there, even though they probably wouldn't want to hear me anyways. But it was just learning, and watching them, how they carried themselves, and how they treated people. And how they practiced and how they went out and prepared for games. And when you do and you watch and you listen, you learn a lot.
What I remember, 87, you come up and Dave Brown. Like, you go, that's Dave Brown. I mean, he was Dave Brown, and you knew what you were doing, and you know, you took him out of the mix there for a bit. And I don't know if you do that now as, you know, as a 55, 56-year-old Kelly Buchberger, but yeah. Back then, it just came with the territory. That's kind of what you had to do to make a mark?
Well, I was a black ace, and then that morning when I came in, Sparky had come and got me and said, hey, Slats wants to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And he goes, can you play tonight? And I'm like, okay. And so the next
it's thing... It's the Stanley Cup Final we're talking about.
Stanley Cup Final, and I think I was only 19 or 20 at that time. And he goes, are you ready? And I'm like, yep, I'll be ready. And I thought I'd make a name for myself right away.
So you went and fought maybe the toughest guy in the league at that time. Look, any discussion around Kelly Buchberger has to tie into your captaincy here, but also one of the greatest comebacks ever. I was doing funk, chord, and stats in my journey en route to get the opportunity to do something like this. It's year 16 now for me doing color, but I was working for Dallas. I was in the Dallas truck when you guys came back from that 3-0 deficit in Game 3 in 1997. What do you remember specifically about that game?
Well, one of the things about that team was that no one expected us to be in the playoffs, and we just scraped in, got in, obviously because of Cujo. But that game, it was one of those things that very seldom you're on the ice at that time, and Ronnie Lowe had put me on, and I had some good teammates. I think Greerzy was on my line, along with Lindgren, I think.
Yeah.
And we ended up capitalizing, and it was just a great feeling, but even to be a team that we had no business playing against and winning that series.
Well, Ronnie Lowe was, I think, an underrated coach. I think he had a real good feel for players. That's the sense that I got with Ronnie. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, did you not get a phone call from Wayne after you guys won that game?
No, it was Mark.
It was Mark called you after you won it? Yeah. That's, well, Wayne, Mark, I mean, it's only one of the two best players over a 25-year. What are that mean to you? You get a call from Mark Messier after you score. You know, you guys roar back from a 3-0 deficit and win an OT.
I don't think none of us had cell phones back then. So I think he phoned the trainer's room, Barry Stafford's room, and Barry came and got me. And he just said, hey, congratulations. That was awesome to watch. And, hey, when you get that from Mark, it means a lot because I idolized him when I was younger. And when even I played with him, I idolized him. He was my mentor.
Is there any way you could perhaps educate our listeners just on having Wayne and Mark and Kevin Lowe? Because they were the you know, captains and the two guys that were, you know, the alternates as well. I mean, it's great leadership there.
It's unreal. And just how they welcome everybody in. And I was a young kid coming in, and they treated me like family. And everywhere they went, they took me, and I was part of the team right away. And they didn't wait to bring me in the group.
You had a long relationship with Craig McTavish, who, you know, between our 30 or so TV hits this year that we did, he was on with us once a week on Oilers Now, MACT on Mondays for contract equipment. We do some public speaking engagements, and he mentions you all the time. I mean, he's a great. What I like, I got to tell you, Kelly, I love that you're back here. Because you're here. And I'll always say this about Kevin and MACT as well. They're Edmonton guys. They weren't born in Edmonton, but they're Edmonton guys. So Langenberg, Saskatchewan.
Yep, you got it.
And you're an Edmonton guy as well. And so you guys all ended up becoming Albertans and all ended up becoming Edmonton guys. It's kind of is that partially out of just your love and appreciation for the opportunity that was here, but also this is where you kind of grew up and made friends and became something special for you.
I think you nailed it right there. You make a lot of friends in this area, and we love the city, and we know the winters are a little tough, but the summers here, if anybody has never been in Edmonton, our summers are beautiful. They're long. If you're a golfer, you can play 36, and then you can play another 36 at lunch, and I think that just the people are passionate about the game, how the Oilers' past is, and now the future coming is going to be great for this city and for the people.
All right, so I'm going to put you a bit on the spot here. You played with Wayne. He was a contemporary of yours. You want a Stanley Cup with Wayne. You want a Stanley Cup with Mark. They're two great players. They got a couple guys right now, McDavid and Draisaitl. They're very different, just like Wayne and Mark were very different. I don't know if we've ever seen anybody in terms of Connor that's, I call him the most advanced player that's ever lived. I don't think we've seen a guy this fast, this skilled. Mario was pretty special, yeah. Too. But your thoughts on just what we're watching on a nightly basis here at Edmonton?
Well, I think we're blessed with the two players. There's no question about it. And you don't get these franchise players the quality of Connor and Draisaitl, and how they feed off one another, how they can turn the game around so quick. And their speed and their intelligence for the game is really high. And when you're playing against them, it's always you're backpedaling against them, and they seem to find each other on the power play. I watch the Oilers play, but I mostly watch the highlights at the end because it's a little late for me. But the goals they score on the power play are unreal. Like, they just know where each other's going to be, and next thing you know, it's in the back of the net.
This is a third consecutive year that two teams have played each other in the playoffs. First time since you guys played Dallas 3 years in a row. Would have been, I guess, 99-2000, 2001, because I know you played them again in 03, but I'm actually going to take you back to when you were with the Oilers and you guys are playing the Kings, because they beat you in 89, and then you guys won in four straight 90, and in 91 and 92, they were the favorites those 2 years. You guys beat them in six. How difficult is it to beat a team that you play year after year in the playoffs?
Well, I don't think it's ever easy to win a playoff game, and it's so hard. There's so many parts that have to come in together, and everybody has to know their chair that sits in, what their role is and how they're going to play it. And if everybody plays their role to a T, you got a chance to win. But to me, it's all goaltending. It always ends up to the goaltender, and if he's hot, and to me, like, you look at 90 when we won the Stanley Cup, it was all Billy Ranford. If it wasn't for Billy, we probably wouldn't have been talking about 1990 Stanley Cup.
Yeah, well, you're down 3-1 to Winnipeg. He had a tough start that year too in the playoffs. They put the kid line together. People forget how badly you dominated Boston in the final. You pumped them, yeah. Like 21-8. Like they always beat you in the regular season, but it was always, you know, you'd play them at the end of a road trip and four games in 6 days, and you're on equal footing against them in the playoffs. And you never lost a game in the Boston Garden in the playoffs.
Well, I think it'd give Billy a little more
credit from game
one. Yeah, because he was there, and we got him from Boston, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah,
so it drove him a little more harder than regular, but he was such a competitor, and he brought the best out on all of us.
Saying that, that was an amazing accomplishment. I still think Cujo's performance in 98, when you guys were down 3-1 in Colorado, they had Patrick Waugh on goal, they had Forsberg and Sakic, arguably two of the three best players in the world with Lindros at that time. You guys came back. How the hell did you guys do that?
It was one of those things, again, like we had no business probably making the playoffs, but I always say that our heart was Ron Lowe, and we all played for Ronnie, and it was like 110% by everybody in that lineup, because we loved his emotion, the way he treated us, and he was just one of those guys that you wanted to play your best for every night.
We had him on yesterday. We can't use the word that he used on here.
I can imagine.
But he was Mark Crawford, and I guess he looked at Mark, and he said, Mark, I played with your brother, and even he said, you're like, you know what, chicken, you know what. So it was pretty funny stuff. Hey, Kelly, have a great time tonight as part of this event as one of the alumni members. Yeah. And thank you for taking time to join us on Oilers Now.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
You bet. Thanks a lot. That is Kelly Buchberger. It is, let's see, what time are we at right now? We're at 4:50 in Edmonton. We'll come back with the game day lineup report for McGuire Financial when we return on Oilers Now. All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer joining you. Yeah, along with Angie Quinnell, who's helping operate things here at Ford Hall for us. Back at the 630 Ched Studios, Brendan Escott, along with Kellen Kennedy. It is currently 4:54 in Edmonton. We do want to mention to you at this time that you're invited to join New West Travel. They've got an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia to discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. It's a 19-day tour. It includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. You can book May 31st to save $1,300 per person. For full details, reach out to newwesttravel.com. We are going to go into Oilers game day trivia in 2 minutes' time. 2 minutes' time. But at this time, it is time for the Game Day Lineup Report for McGuire Financial.
The Game Day Lineup Report is brought to you by McGuire Financial. Stick handle your way to financial success. For a free financial consultation, visit McGuireFinancial.ca.
No changes for either team coming into Game 2 of this playoff series. Oilers up 1-0. They won 7-4 in Game 1. Edmonton going 3-for-4 in the power play and 2-2 in the PK. Connor McDavid up front with Adam Henrique and Zach Hyman. McDavid with 80 points in 50 games in his NHL playoffs career. Leon Draisaitl at 2 points the other night. He's got 79 points in 50 games. He'll play with RNH and Warren Fogle. Ryan McLeod with Evander Kane and Corey Perry. Sam Carrick with Dylan Holloway and Matthias Janmark. Matthias Ekholm with Evan Bouchard. Bouchard with 4 assists the other night. Now in his NHL career, he's played 29 playoff games. He's got 30 points. Not bad. Darnell Nurse with Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, and Vincent Dernay. Stuart Skinner starts in goal for Edmonton. The LA Kings, who went 21-12-1 under Jim Hiller, will have Kopitar up front with Laferriere and Adrian Kempe. Kempe's got 8 goals, 16 points in 18 career playoff games. Philip Deneau with Trevor Moore and Victor Arvidsson. Pierre-Luc Dubois with Kevin Fiala and Quentin Byfield. Byfield, the number 2 pick in the 2020 NHL draft. Blake Lizotte with Carl Grundstrom and Trevor Lewis. It'll be Mikey Anderson with Drew Doughty. Doughty played 25-16 in game number 1 of the series. Gavrikov with Roy, and then England with Spence. Cam Talbot will start a goal despite giving up 6 goals on 44 shots in the 7-4 loss. The line of Kopitar, Laferriere, and Kempe played 7-0-7, 5-on-5 together. Deneau played with Moore and Arvidsson 8-16. Dubois with Fiala and Byfield played over 10 minutes 5-on-5 together. Lizotte, Grundstrom, and Lewis played 9 minutes together. For the Oilers, RNH, Draisaitl, and Fogle played 10 minutes and 16 seconds together, 5v5. McLeod with Kane and Perry played 12:37. Connor McDavid, by the way, only 18:47 of ice time in that game. They held him back. All right, 4:57 in Edmonton. It's a relatively easy question for you. is we go into for our friends at Pro-Am Sports, Oilers Game Day Trivia. Pro-Am Sports is your fan cave specialist. All correct answers this month enter to win an autographed Stuart Skinner jersey from Pro-Am Sports. Visit them online or in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail. So, Pierre-Luc Dubois was the third overall pick in the 2016 NHL draft. The Edmonton Oilers took the guy who was fourth. Who was it? Text us 780-496-0063. We've talked about this player a lot over the years. Who did the Edmonton Oilers take fourth overall in 2016, one pick after Columbus took Pierre-Luc Dubois third? Text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. We'll head off to the Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn.